comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me as always, the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Greg, I have something, kind of a throwback to some of our original episodes.
Uh-oh.
I want to see if I can do this. I'm trying to get close to the mic.
Oh.
Yes.
Did
not come out as clear as I wanted it to, but
I would have similar sound, except I cracked mine open before I sat down.
I saved mine.
Well,
and now I'm pouring it in my nice frosty mug.
You're obviously better than me. What are you drinking tonight? Tell everybody at home.
I am drinking from 4204, their Assaulted Caramel Pecan Ale.
I have not had that in a minute and a half, man.
I got it because I was thinking of it, I don't know if it was last night or not before, whatever. And I was same thing. I was like, man, I haven't had that in forever. So luckily there was a gas station right by me that had it. In fact, when I got it and I brought it up to the counter, the lady was like, did you try the turtle stuff? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, why are you trying to sell me on too much stuff? I think it was also from 4204. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But she said it was very good, so maybe next time.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's great to hear. Always shout out to our local friends. And oh, Mike just had that look on his face. He took his first drink and the look of pure bliss all over his face.
Respect memories.
I'm also drinking, but what I'm drinking tonight is clearing out some of my Christmas beer.
Okay.
Because I just haven't been drinking as much lately. It's probably why my life's been so miserable. I kid. All the way from Shiner, Texas, I am drinking Shiner's Holiday Cheer.
Nice.
So
now, it's, okay, Holiday Cheer, is there like a, because I think peppermint for some reason. That's, you know, is there any kind of minty feeling to it, or an eggnoggy, I guess?
Absolutely not. This is a Bavarian-style dark wheat. Let's see here. It is an old-world Dunkelweizen brewed with Texas peaches and roasted pecans. The malty flavors of this dark wheat-flavored ale are enhanced through the use of malted barley and wheat. And krausening, and I'm probably not pronouncing that right, ensures a smoothness that makes the subtle peach and pecan flavors all the more satisfying. May your days be merry and bright, and your shiner be cold.
Nice. I have a feeling, did we have that one time at your house?
Probably.
Back when we podcasted at the same place?
I miss those days, Mike.
That's what this reminds me of. The Assaulted Caramel Pecan Ale.
We used to do that on Facebook Live and and take questions from our loyal viewers.
Yep.
And
we gotta figure out if we can, well, do a Facebook Live. I just don't like the. Maybe I can get Facebook on my laptop.
We can get so live. I think we can. We hope. By the way, we hope that you're enjoying this production meeting nestled right inside our episode, yep. Right at the beginning too. I think if I, you know, started a live stream, I think I can attach you to it. So we have two like side by side things. So maybe we'll try that next week.
Okay.
And then we'll do three recordings.
Yes.
Live streaming. Live streaming Zoom to Facebook and YouTube costs money. I mean, I was just getting put it point blank there. I don't know how much it costs. Like it's a penny a day.
Still money.
So we do it the free way because this podcast is free for you, and we don't make any money on it, so we're cheap.
Yep.
All right, Mike. So we've got a few things to talk about this week. We're going to save our Cobra Kai conversation. How's that for some old alliteration? For the very end. We're going to start this episode where we start many an episode, and that is with our trusty book, Mike.
Ah, yes.
we might have just lost Mike, everybody. All right, Mike.
Oh, am I supposed to say the name of the book?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morris. And as you all know, that's the Loot Crate edition.
We all know. This is timely? We're going to go with timely. Not Timely Comics. It's DC Comics from August/September 1971. It was created, this character created by Joe Simon and Jerry Grandinetti. And it's timely because of what is going on in our world right now. More specifically, in our country right now.
Okay.
The political affiliation is known as Groovy. I want to introduce you to the first teen president of the USA in Prez number one.
That's okay. I gotta know more. Is the comic book character named Prez number one?
The comic book character is Prez, debuted in Prez number one.
Okay, duh.
The year is 1973, and America is in turmoil. The wounds of Vietnam, the Watergate scandal, Pong's release, and as John Morris tells us, the birth of Carson Daly. It is, in many ways, the country's darkest hour. Surely the only hope lies in electing a clock-obsessed teenager to be president of the United States.
Why?
I don't know. Prez, a.k.a. First Teen President, the brainchild of Joe Simon, the man who, along with Jack King Kirby, created literally thousands of pages of comics and dozens of superheroes, including the paterfamilias of the patriotic superhero set Captain America. Now teamed with artist Jerry Grandinetti, Simon was ushering in a completely new kind of patriotic superhero. Prez Rickard is the favorite son of the modest Burg of Steadfast, a town adorned with hundreds, maybe thousands, of beautifully crafted clocks. Unfortunately, no two of them keep the same time. One by one, with focus and dedication, Prez fixes all the clocks of Steadfast. This Herculean task brings him to the attention of Boss Smiley, a round-headed wretch whose cartoonishly grinning mug resembles the insipid smiley face button made popular in the 70s. Smiley endorses the immensely popular 21-year-old. Yes, the teen president tagline was a lie. It's actually 21 for a career as the youngest senator in the U.S., following a shove through a constitutional amendment, the youngest president in history.
So I think I know why, is because obviously they're trying to appeal to teenage readers. So, hey, you can become president too, type of thing.
Eventually, Prez rejects Boss Smiley's control, aided by his Native American pal Eagle Free, a friend to animals and director of the FBI. Prez and his administration go on to defend the USA from familiar threats. There are assassination attempts, rabble-rousing activities, contrarian members of Congress, legless vampires, giant evil robot chess pieces, you know, the kind of day-in, day-out struggles typically faced by any world leader.
I'm looking at pictures of Prez, because I know we'll eventually start talking about casting him.
I really don't.
But I'm just going to do it right now. I'm going to beat you to it. So anytime we have a character that is blonde hair, you have to cast Chris Hemsworth.
But he's 21 years old.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Something, right?
21.
Right, well, 21. The Prez is 21.
Yeah.
Well, we've learned that it is okay to have 30-year-olds playing high school characters, a la Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. So it's perfectly fine to have Chris Hemsworth play a 21-year-old character. It's just the rules. Blonde hair, you have to have Chris Hemsworth.
The allegory-rich story of Prez was effortlessly adapted in an issue of Neil Gaiman's well-regarded 90s series The Sandman. Prez was recast as a Christ-like figure, resisting the temptation of a satanic boss, Smiley. It's a shame Prez hasn't made a substantial return since. The world can never have enough heroes who stand for truth, justice, and the American way.
So true.
I don't buy the Hemsworth cast.
That's the rules, Greg. Blonde hair. It has to be Chris Hemsworth.
I'm telling you, I don't... No. I'm going to tell you what. If we were having this conversation 20, 25 years ago, the only person who could be cast would be Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Well, yeah, if we were having the conversation 25 years ago, I mean, we'd be little babies, practically.
I mean, we'd be in our teens.
Exactly. That's a little baby.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Blonde-haired...
Chris Hemsworth. That's the rules we made up.
Actors. We make the rules up. I'm pretty sure we can change... Oh, hold on.
No, you make the rules, can't change them, except for when I want to change them.
Young, my Google search is going to be really weird. Young, yeah. Blonde-haired actors.
Hot, young, blonde-haired actors.
Okay, you know what? I will go with... What about Joffrey, the kid who played Joffrey in Game of Thrones?
He can play a young version.
I mean, he's 20-something now, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. He can play a young version of him. He's not old enough to play a teenager yet. In Hollywood, you need to be at least 30.
At least 35. Okay, here we go. Perfect. I'm glad I did this this search. Jake Abel.
Okay.
He was. Did you see the Percy Jackson movies?
Sure didn't. I'm an adult.
Okay. It's a very specific and a little attacking thing to say. But you'll be happy to know Jake Abel, tall, skinny, and 33 years old.
Okay. That'll work then. He's a good age.
Okay. Also,
I mean, he's no Chris Hemsworth.
Very few people are. I mean,
that's true.
Just based on how that works. Okay, so there's our talk on Prez. Did we have any other news? Oh, we did, and I sent it to you or I meant to send it to you.
Okay, one of those two.
This is just a rumor. It was announced yesterday, rumored, that Chris Evans would be returning to Marvel as Captain America. Now, did you see Evans' response to that?
Yes.
Okay, I saw the headline, but I didn't click any. So what was his response?
His response was a tweet that said, "News to me."
Okay, perfect. That's all I needed. Moving on. You read
By the
something.
Way, that's, that, hold on, that, that still doesn't deter people from believing it.
No. Do you think that it's a... Because there's a lot of misdirection in Hollywood. So he could be like, I don't know anything. And then, you know, 2 days later, he's like, nope, it's on.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you can go back to when, and I'm going to get her name wrong, Tatiana something that starts with
I know
an
it's,
M.
And I was in my mind, I was thinking of the same situation, She-Hulk.
Yeah, the actress who plays She-Hulk, originally she said, no, I'm not doing it. And then it comes to find out a couple weeks later she's doing it. So, yeah, maybe they're in negotiations right now, and obviously he can't say, yes, I'm doing it. Or maybe it's absolutely false. And also, you know, they're saying he's coming back, but that doesn't mean he's coming back for Captain America 4.
Yeah.
You know, it could be he's coming back for, he's going to do another, you know, kind of like a video presentation he did like in Spider-Man Homecoming.
It's true. Yeah. I
didn't with the gym thing. You know, he could just do something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
anything that you have that brings him back, you know, after the snap, after the blip, after the events of Endgame, and it takes place in going forward, just invalidates that very touching end of end, you know, Endgame. Not to sound redundant, conclusion of Endgame. There we go. Where you know he meets with Sam, he gives him the shield. You know he says, you know, you. She says, or Sam makes a comment about his wedding band. He's like, I don't suppose you want to talk about that. And Cap says, no, I don't think I will. And then they kind of fade off and go back to him dancing with Sharon Carter, Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Sorry. Got my Carters mixed up. You know, and because that was something going all the way back to Captain America, the First Avenger, that he promised her that he would do. He's like, oh, you know, save a dance for me, things like that. So you can't erase that. The heart of that, you know, Captain America was the heart of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Tony Stark was the brains. You know, you had plenty of characters who were the humor, but Steve Rogers, Captain America, was the heart of those movies.
Yeah, absolutely. If he were to come back, I wouldn't want him to come back for anything big. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, only maybe, like, a 5-minute, appearance. And nothing after Endgame, but it'd have to be, like, a flashback scene. So, like I said, anything after Endgame. Like, I don't want him to come back and, oh, Captain America's back. No, right. I want it to be a flashback scene. If they were going to do it, do a flashback scene. Maybe something he did in the war, maybe something he did, you know, after Civil War, you know.
Or even, you know, like caught on surveillance type of thing.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
like some
yeah,
surveillance footage. Yes. Here's my thing, and I realize that the... all right, so I guess this is where I'm going. Because of the nature of the time travel... The Steve who is there with Peggy Carter dancing is not the Steve who knew Peggy Carter in World War II. That's the Steve who, you know, was frozen in ice for 70 years, was woke up, fought in, you know, in New York, did the, you know, the Winter Soldier stuff and Endgame, and then went back. So there's never two. But then you get to a point where there are two Captain Americas in the timeline. You have young, frozen, thawed-out Captain America, and you have old Steve Rogers.
Well, and actually, it can get even weirder than that, because he goes back... they could have parallel ones for every time that he had to put a stone back.
It's true.
You know? So, yeah, it's best not to think about the time stuff. You're right, though.
Could you imagine like the attack on New York and old Steve Rogers just kind of like meanders his way down there with his shield? He's like, "How can I help?"
You know, it's funny. Speaking of the time stones, somebody I think it was on Facebook mentioned that they would want to see a movie about him bringing the time stones back.
Oh, the Infinity Stones, yeah.
Yeah, but I also think it'd be funny. Where if he, every time he dropped off a time stone, he just messed something up. It's very anti-Captain America.
Right.
Captain America always does stuff right. But, like, he just, met, like, he puts, like, I don't know, the mind stone back wherever it was. and then just something happens. Like, it just completely messes things up. You're right in the sense that I would rather Captain America, Chris Evans not come back.
Yeah.
Just because of what you said, I don't want to ruin that ending. And that kind of, I also don't want certain other characters to come back. Like, I don't want Iron Man to come back because he had a very good edge. And then another one, and I hate saying this, but it's a Marvel character, but it was never in a Marvel, in the MCU, but Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, at least.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'll take Wolverine back eventually. It's gonna be a hard sell for anybody. I should say big shoes to fill.
Right.
But for any other actor that's gonna come in to play Wolverine, I think they will have one eventually.
I have a crazy idea for you that I don't know has ever been. Like, I'm not saying I'm the most original person that, you know, nobody's ever thought of this idea before, but it costs something. You have to pay something, a costly price for the Soul Stone.
Mm-hmm.
What if when Cap comes back, or, you know, goes to give it back, they give you that price, like, you get... I don't know, reimbursed, but you get like your money back. You know, it's like, I have the receipt. I'd like to return this. Oh, okay. You know, do you think that's a possibility for Black Widow and how that movie is coming out after Endgame, or do you think it's still set?
It's definitely not set after Endgame.
Boo.
It is set between Civil War and Infinity War. They've already said that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I get for not reading things, Mike.
You bring up a good point, and that it's been talked about before. As if you bring the Soul Stone back, what happens to what you sacrificed? You know, and maybe they'll discuss that. Maybe it'll just be like we don't know type of thing. You know, because that could bring back another version of Gamora. You know, obviously, if they want to bring back Black Widow, they have time travel, so. Sure. Just like they did with the Gamora, they plucked her from, you know, years before and brought her to the future. They could do the same thing to Black Widow.
Okay.
But it is a very good point as far as like what happens when you bring the Soul Stone back.
Mike, I'm going to ask this question gently. Not because I don't think you are not equipped to handle the topic, but because it's an awful meaty topic to handle. Are you prepared to talk anything about multiversity?
Yeah, I can tell you. Also, you know what? And I completely forgot about this. I was going to do this in the YouTube video because I haven't picked out my my new comic book yet.
Uh-oh.
But I'll do this on here. Not right now. I'll do it after I talk about it. Anyway, it's not as cool when only you can see it, but I guess it's still kind of cool. But anyway, Multiversity. Multiversity was a graphic novel written by Grant Morrison and a ton of other people.
True.
Which, by the way, every comic book I read, you know, there are, it looks like at least five or six writers, artists, blah, 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 you know. On it. So I think I understand why, Greg, it's taking you 17 years to write your graphic novel. It's just you. You know?
That's a great... I like that. 17 years, also a little bit of an exaggeration, but you're probably not far off. Only off by about 14.
Yeah, it's just you writing it. So, gosh, I mean...
And I lost all my notes when my phone went to hell earlier. Last year,
see?
So.
Maybe you can give it to your sons when they go off to college.
You say, here, you know? Go finish this.
Yeah, exactly. You give it to them, but it's not finished. Oh. You're like, here you go.
Here, if you want college paid for, you better finish this story.
Right. I hope it's good, too.
Hope one of you can draw.
Yeah.
Color in the lines.
So Multiversity, like I said, by Grant Morrison. Morrison? No, Grant.
Yeah.
Did I say Grant Morrison? I don't know. Anyway, so whenever a comic book is confusing or even a movie, I think to myself it would be as if somebody who has never seen any Marvel movie, the first movie they watch is Avengers Endgame. It'd probably be a little confusing because you're going to be sitting there. First of all, if you know the character's names, you're going to be like, why is Iron Man mad at Captain America? Why is this person, why are they, it'd be confusing, right? So when I first started reading Multiversity, it was as if somebody has never seen any Marvel movie, watched Avengers Endgame while taking acid. That's what it thought of. Because I first started reading, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Now, it did get better. It got more understandable. The basic premise of it is that there are, obviously, multiple universes, parallel universes.
Do you remember how many?
I want to say like 52 or something like that. There's, in fact, I skipped a couple pages in the middle because it was just like, Earth Zero is this. Earth One, I'm like, yeah.
I really enjoyed that section. That section might have been my favorite part of the book.
It's a good one to go back to.
Yeah. Definitely one you use as reference.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how many, but I want to say around 50 something. There's some interesting ones on there. There's some ones I'm like when I first started reading it, I'm like, I can't even tell you what's going on. And there's like alternate versions of the superheroes you love and know and love or know and hate. I don't know. Like there was a world where Batman was Damian Wayne. And then there was Alexis Luthor,
mm-hmm.
which is Lex Luthor's daughter, and Kal-El, which was Superman's clone that was made by Lex Luthor. And that one was kind of interesting, you know. There was a world of like zombie Batman characters. And by the way, it's not all alterations or iterations of Batman and Superman. There's like a Savannah, like Dr. Savannah's kind of different alterations of him. Like there's a Snake Savannah and stuff. But anyway, there's like a bunch of different worlds. Each world is having their own kind of crisis going on, and the interlaying thread between everything is that there's comic books in every world, and the comic books show what the parallel universes are like. So like in our world right now, I read a Batman comic. That means that there's in another world, there's actually Batman.
Right.
And then in his world, you know, there's, you know, Overman. And it's an actual character, you know, that's a comic book character, but in a parallel world, you know, and the comic books, there's a haunted comic book that is causing this. And in fact, it's, I don't want to say meta, it's kind of like, I guess maybe a little meta.
I was going to say, it's pretty meta.
Yeah, as you read, they're like, put this book down. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know, reader beware,
right, you're
in for a scanner. Because that's kind of what it was like. Like, put this book down. Seriously, don't read anymore. In fact, I almost did put it down. It was like there were very few pages. I was just going to tell you, like, Greg, I actually can't read this. It says
do not.
It says don't. Greg, I have to follow directions. Sorry. No. Yeah, so there's haunted comic books throughout. Like I said, it starts off really like it's a struggle to read this. But then it gets better very quickly, well, somewhat quickly, I should add. Even because, like, if the graphics change slightly,
mm-hmm.
or there, instead of having, you know, 17 panels on a page with, you know, five characters, whatever it is, there's like four panels. So you, like, kind of go through it a little quicker. Grant Morrison, obviously very well known comic book writer. I was curious about is there someone he's like known for? I know he's written tons of stuff, but just off the top of your head, it was like, oh yeah, Grant Morrison's known for Superman.
Yeah, I believe he did All-Star Superman.
All-Star Superman. That's the one. Yeah.
I mean, if you just jump out, Superman, I'm like, All-Star Superman. He also did a Batman book that I have that you will read, which is like Bruce Wayne Lost in Time or something to that effect.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, he's done a lot. So, he did a recent, like, his take on the origin of Green Lantern or Hal Jordan Green Lantern.
Right.
One of my favorite, honestly, little miniseries things of his is his book Klaus, which I think was for either Top Cow or Boom Studios several years back. Well, not several, but, you know, a few years back, handful of them. Nice little story on the origin of Santa Claus type thing. So,
okay, yeah, I think I remember something about that. Yeah, so obviously he's a great writer. Whenever I read the comic books and when I'm reviewing them, the question I have is, do I want to read more about this character? Well, there's obviously several characters. It was actually a pro and a con to having, because as you read, so it's like you'll read about one universe, and then that's maybe 5-10 pages, and then next universe and stuff. So if you like the universe that you're in, it seems like it's not long enough because you're like, what happens with, you know, Alexis Luthor? But also if you don't like it, if there's a universe, you're like, okay, let me just get out of this real quick. They're not that many pages away. So it's like, right. I said, pro and con for it. So I can't really say, and obviously on the YouTube video, I talked about Captain Carrot, which is one of the characters that comes up in the very beginning and at the very end. I don't think I would pick up a Captain Carrot comic book necessarily, but if he appeared in a movie, cool. And would I recommend it to a non-comic book reader? No. If you're not a comic book reader, no. Or for first-time reader, no, I wouldn't. Not saying that if you're a first-time reader that it would be bad if you got it. You know, my opinion really doesn't matter, to be honest. I'm still new at this comic book reading thing, too, but yeah. So, Multiversity, I told myself I had to finish it, too. Because I spent an hour Wednesday, because I hadn't read much of it by Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, I got to get to this.
Right.
So, I set a timer on my phone for 30 minutes, read as much as I could, took a little break, another time for 30 minutes. I said, I'm going to read an hour Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, see if I get it done. And today, I think I read a little bit over, maybe a little over an hour. I was kind of cooking dinner as I was reading too, so the timing was a little bit off. But I finished it, and now I'm going to go over to my backpack of comic books.
Here's the thing, too. When Multiversity was being read and not in your backpack, mm-hmm. you also lost, like, you know, 5 pounds on your curls.
Well, okay, I was going to say, I basically did, yes. I'm not looking, and I'm reaching my hand in here. Now, by the way, if I pull out one that I've already read, because I have some in here that I've already read, because I got to keep waiting here, then I'm obviously not reading it again.
Do it.
Right. Pulling one out. Let's see. Oh, Midnight Nation. I already read that one. Sorry.
Very recently.
Right. Yes, very recently. Good book, too. I think I don't know if I emailed you about it or we talked about the podcast. I'm looking forward to, if you have a Superman Earth 1, because it's a J. Michael Straczynski book. Okay, next one. Another one I read, War of the Realms. Let me go near the front. I'm secretly trying to feel for like a not big one, but. Oh, okay. This is a thicker one, but it's by Alex Ross.
Okay.
Justice.
Nice. Oh, I think you're really gonna like that one.
Yeah. All right. So that'll hopefully be either next podcast or next YouTube video. Either one.
I went to Twilight Comics this week, and I got
Wants you a little bit.
Indeed. Thank you. And I had picked up two collections, like two trade paperbacks and one single issue. The single issue was The Bloodshot that I've been reading. And the I think you're really going to like the collections that I picked up. One was okay. Middle West Volume 3.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. And the other one, I had to ask Tim, I said, Tim, have they ever put out that their book that includes like the Justice League and DC characters and also the Watchmen fellers? I didn't really phrase it like that, but that's more for fun and for the people listening at home and their enjoyment. And he took me to two different places on their trade paperback or graphic novel wall. Took me to W for Watchmen and D for Doomsday Clock. And I picked up Doomsday Clock. It was in both locations. I said, that's great. It like doubles your viewer or exposure, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. So hopefully I'll have something read. I also did something this past week that I haven't done in a few years.
Oh. Okay.
I bought a video game.
Ooh, okay.
So I've been playing a video game. Actually, I've been playing a little too much. Been up the last few nights past midnight playing some video games. Video game, one game.
What'd you get?
NHL 21. Folks, okay. Listen, you should have seen. Mike was so excited. He's like, ooh, what'd you get? And I said NHL 21, and he just like went completely deadpan. He's like, I'm so disappointed in you.
Well, I know. It's mainly because, and I knew, as soon as I was thinking of it, I was like, okay, I know it's not the case. I was like, man, if he got Red Dead Redemption Online, dude, me and him could play together. Because we both have PS4s.
Yeah.
I will set up something. I have a posse and everything. Okay. NHL 21. Okay. So I guess you're going to play as the Blues.
I've tried to play as the, I'm still learning my way.
Right.
I tried to like do a franchise type thing, you know, where I run the team and play the games. But for some reason, each of the two times that I've tried to do it, like it eliminates like all of the familiar players that I know from the Blues. I'm like, that's not right. And then the other time I did it was, I don't know if I clicked something wrong, but I did like fantasy draft. And so look, when I can't recognize my goalie, then we got a problem. So that's, and then I did one called Be a Pro or whatever it is, where it's, you know, following my individual career, started in the CHL, WHL, anyway, play for the Memorial Cup, which is junior hockey. And then I was the first overall draft pick because I was not the best player in the Memorial Cup, Mike, but that's just how it's set up, where you're all, no matter what, you're the first draft pick. So I was drafted actually by the New York Rangers. So I will play there for my 3-year contract and then be a free agent and entertain offers. So
can you create your own hockey player? Is that what
mm-hmm.
it is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so did you create Machachko?
I did.
Nice.
The thing is that, you know, I don't know if you know this, like if I did, like if my name was John Smith, then, you know, the announcers would be able to say John Smith right. takes the puck, over, you know, into, you know, across the blue line or whatever. But Machachko is not really a name that's going to be picked up by no. anything. And even Greg is not an option. So I had to go with, like, every time my guy gets the puck now, it's passes to Gregory. I'm like, it is what yeah. it is. So
yeah, that's the thing. I used to play a lot of wrestling video games.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
You know, teens and 20s. And it's the same way when you create a character there, like the name. There's usually Mike. There's never Luther. So you would always have to go by whatever, what's that? Nickname.
I would always go with a nickname and then, like, you know, like the in-ring nickname and then name my wrestler based off of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So that's what I would do. So I hope to get some reading done. We're into a new weekend. And I do have, we got to get a Christmas tree down yet. So we
gotta, oh, wow.
It's okay. All the outside yeah. decorations are in. It's okay.
Okay.
You know, but, technically Christmas, season goes till February. Trust me.
Okay. That's a new one. I didn't know that.
Look it up. But we'll try to get that done this weekend. That also opens up a lot more play area for my son with all of his new toys and things like that. So, but I hope to get a little bit of reading done. Now, Mike, let's get to why we're here.
Okay.
I think we've made our listener friends wait long enough. Cobra Kai Season 3. I watched all this, Mike. You encouraged me. I was excited to watch it. It dropped on Netflix. It picked up the slack, and it helped fill in the hole. It filled in the hole, Mike, of The Office leaving Netflix.
And if I know Greg, I know he likes to get his hole filled.
I don't even know. Good night, everybody. I don't know how to.
That's what you said, Greg.
Huh?
It filled your hole up.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it filled up some sadness in my heart. We'll just leave it that way. So anyway, Cobra Kai came out season 3. I saw seasons 1 and 2 over the summer, late summer, yeah. Or something like that. Whenever it got put on Netflix at Mike's urging. Mike has good taste. If Mike tells you to watch something, you should listen to it. I mean, he's got me watching, or had me watching Community and Cobra Kai.
I'll get you to watch Workaholics too.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So three good shows. I don't know about this workaholic stuff. mostly because, anyway. We're going to spoil some things. So if you're not up to date on Cobra Kai, and look, we're going to spoil things in about 20 minutes time because we're already 40 minutes into this thing. But if you haven't watched all of Cobra Kai, stop now, jump on Netflix, do some binging, very readily, easily consumable episodes between 30 and 35 minutes or so. But here we go. In 3, 2, 1. The spoiling begins. So at the end of season 2, we know that the karate riot at West Valley High School, Robbie showed no mercy. Miguel lightened up, showed a little mercy after listening to his sensei, Johnny Lawrence, and Robbie did not, kicked Miguel over the banister. Miguel fell very dramatically, cracked his back, broke his back on the rail of the stairway, and was paralyzed. That was the end of season 2. Season 3 opens up, and he is in a coma. Robbie's nowhere to be found. Samantha and her Miyagi-Do friends are being relentlessly bullied by what's left of the Cobra Kai. Johnny Lawrence has left Cobra Kai, and in his place is John Kreese. Meanwhile, a rival car dealer is vying for the LaRussa Auto Group, dealership. So Daniel LaRussa ends up going to Japan, to Tokyo, to deal with that. Stops by Okinawa, visits Mr. Miyagi's grave, sees familiar faces from the movies. Back stateside, all hell is breaking loose, Mike. Holy cow. First of all, Miguel's starting to walk. We get a little backstory on Kreese. He wasn't always an a-hole, but Vietnam did him dirty. His commanding officer treated him like garbage there at the end. And he learned that no mercy type of mantra. We see some of the kids from Cobra Kai break off, like Miguel breaks off, and some other people leave Cobra Kai or are kicked out and start a new dojo in the park with Johnny Lawrence called Eagle Fang Karate.
Yes.
Kreese still has Cobra Kai, and as we learn at the end, has the biggest, one of the best young karate talents in the valley in Robbie, whatever Robbie's last name is. Keen?
Yes, Keen.
Meanwhile, Samantha LaRusso is trying to teach other kids about Miyagi-Do, kind of reconnects with Miguel. That leads to a something of a coming together of Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang Karate, which leads to a massive fight. Holy cow. In the season finale at the LaRusso home between the, you know, the coming together, the Eagle Fang Karate Kids, the Miyagi-Do Karate Kids, and then Cobra Kai comes over and busts up their party. But Hawk has a change of heart. And he's like, I've hurt my friend enough. You know, you could see it kind of happening slowly over the season. I don't know. It almost felt a little out of character, like his little change of heart. I don't know.
Yeah. What,
but he has a change of heart. And so now it's pretty much, you know, just a two-kid, you know, karate school at Cobra Kai between Tori and Robbie, and everybody else, you know, kind of goes their own ways. But it was a bad deal there. And Allie came back, which was awkward but hilarious. Hilarious for us, awkward for Daniel and Johnny.
Yeah.
What did I miss? I hit the high points.
Well, I have to go back for a couple of points. First of all, if anybody has an Eagle Fang Karate shirt, I am a size extra large. Feel free to send my way. Yeah, with Hawk, I like that his character came around, but it almost seemed like too little too late.
Yeah.
Because, and of course, we said it's spoilers here, he broke a kid's shoulder. There was
Dimitri, his friend.
His friend. His you know, friend. He broke his shoulder, and there was a moment where he was pausing. He had a guy in kind of like an arm lock, and he was pausing, and people were like, oh, break it, break it. And you would think he was going to be like, oh, no, I can't, or it's not worth it, something like that. But no, he breaks it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know if it's the next episode or even like the next scene. That's when he has a change of heart, and he's like, hey, sorry. I'm like, dude, sorry doesn't cut it there. Like, dude, I'm sorry. If you break my arm, you can't just be – and not on accident, like purposely break
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
You can't just be like, hey, sorry about that, man. We cool? Like, no, we're not. You know, so I wish they wouldn't have done that because his, like I said, too little too late on it. God, what else did you talk about? You talked about the whole episode, the whole series.
Miguel was paralyzed, and while he had a properly trained, you know, physical therapist, it was the instruction he got from Johnny Lawrence. Huh?
It was the power of rock.
Right, yeah. Dee Snider, wow, 30-something years later.
But
it was the power of, you know, Johnny Lawrence got him back on his feet again, literally and figuratively. And then he was throwing, like, I get it. He's had some atrophy, you know, he doesn't have his strength up, he's just learning to walk again. But he's throwing some punches and kicks. They're like, oh, man.
yeah.
Which reminds me, the fight that was in the Cobra Kai dojo between Kreese and LaRusso, that looked so slow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could tell that, like, the kids were, like, knew what they were doing and were prepared, and the old guys were like, let's try not to hurt anybody, Ralph.
Well, and, okay, let's be honest here. I think both me and you could have filmed karate scenes a lot better in our teens and 20s than we could right now. Like right now, if I wake up wrong, I have a bad back. I sneezed recently and literally like hurt my shoulders just from a sneeze. So they're both in their 50s. So the fact that they even like picked their leg up, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm impressed. You're good.
I mean, I could do crane kick right now.
Okay, hold on. Let's see it. Oh, my gosh. Wow, you did it. Wow, that was crazy.
I figure we could have, like, set it up a little bit by the sound of me actually putting the headset down.
Well, you can just insert, like, kick sound.
there was a time, Mike, where I could kick as high as my head.
I believe that. Is that time now? No.
All right, you got the camera on, so you can see. Can you do play by play?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Okay. All right, so Greg's taking his headset off. He is, I don't know what he's doing, but he's standing up right now. Okay. Standing up. Give him the thumbs up. Okay. He's stretching a little. Okay, squatting down. Okay, doing a couple air squats. Okay. Okay, okay. He did actually surprisingly manage to kick up about to his head, I think he's his legs going to be sore for the next couple weeks now.
That was with minimal stretching, I just want to point out.
Okay, you'll like what I said. Don't worry. Don't even listen to it.
Wait, roll the tape. What'd you say, Mike?
I'm not going to go back and listen to it. You surprisingly were able to kick up to your head. It looked like it was to your head.
It was?
Yeah. But I also said his leg is probably going to be sore for the next couple weeks now.
I'm fine.
Yeah, sure.
Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
All right, perfect. So also with Cobra Kai, one thing, and I think we messaged each other about this, is like...
We sent facsimiles to one another.
Yeah, we paged each other.
Right, oh, God.
We were like, so I guess you can just go into people's houses now and just start fighting?
Yeah, that was...
So here's one thing, and I love the show, but this season kind of reminded me of, like, if Saturday Night Live was to do a parody on Cobra Kai, this is what it would be. Like, the random fights at school, the obviously what we talked about, the going into somebody's house, and then all of a sudden... karate starts.
Right.
The everybody knows karate, which they kind of talked about. Or mentioned that it was weird that everybody in this town not only knows karate but loves karate. And like that's even in the first season where they're talking about, like, you know, everybody knows Johnny from his karate championship. I personally do not know any. Like, I don't know anybody that's famous for doing karate. It's certainly not something that's like a whole town talks about.
Are you talking about in your community?
In community or just in general?
What about Chuck Norris?
But he's more famous for this. He does karate, but like if he wasn't in movies. You would have no clue who Chuck Norris was.
Fair point. Okay, what about some of your MMA guys?
They're famous for MMA, not just karate. There's certain ones like Leonardo DiCaprio. His main style was karate, and when he got popular, he became champion for a while. There was talk about like, okay, there's definitely going to be more karate studios open up now. But once again, if it wasn't for UFC. I wouldn't know who Leonardo Machida is.
Sure.
Like, I can't tell you who the 1990, you know, Trenton, Illinois karate champion is. I mean, there isn't one, but, you know.
I didn't move to New Baden until 95, so that was...
So, I mean, I just picked the old year. It's just kind of funny with that.
It's like, where's all the football players? Where's the basketball players?
Right. No, just karate.
No, karate is the only way.
Yeah. When I was watching the last episode, and I knew it was the last episode, and I'm like, okay, they have like an hour at least worth of stuff to talk about, and it's nearly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a cliffhanger.
Sure.
And not a to be continued type of cliffhanger, but okay, you know, it's a cliffhanger. I've heard that they want to do at least two more seasons. Like I said, I love Cobra Kai, but man, I don't... If they do two more seasons, it's really going to be stretching it.
I think so. I think in regards to that report, I remember them saying something like, you know, like you said, they have ideas for two more seasons, but if they were only given one, they knew how they could wrap up the story there too.
I'd say wrap it up in one.
Yeah.
I honestly, I think, and obviously it's can't change now, but I think three seasons would have been fine. You know,
I think you need the fourth season because as the way, you know, the way season three ended, you have all three senseis and all three of their champions, you know, and you have All Valley looming. So I think maybe after the next, like, I think this, I don't know, like, to your point, I don't know how far you can take it now, you know, because, you know, you've got everything's on the line. If Cobra Kai doesn't win, then he'll pack up and leave. And if Cobra Kai wins, then they have to essentially leave him alone and let him, you know, do whatever, you know, psychopathic things he does. But that's, you know, how do you, like you said, how do you stretch it out beyond, you know, where you already are?
Right. Like I said, if I talk negative about this, it doesn't mean I don't like it. I just, you know, kind of can be critical of it. I kind of know what's going to happen at least a couple times in season four, which is stuff that's already happened in season one, two, and three, which is Johnny and
Daniel LaRusso? Miguel?
No. Chris? Oh, Johnny and LaRusso. They get along for a little bit, and then, oh, nope, they're not getting along. And then they get along for a little bit, and then, oh, nope, one says something, they don't get along. They're kind of going to do that pulling the string along type of thing. I hope they don't. I hope it's just from the get-go that they're working together, and they're working together against, you know, John Kreese.
I like that the way season three ended was both of them, you know, coming out to Miyagi-Do, you know, all of the students out there together, you know, even like the old a-hole ones. You know, and it seems like, well, they've got the numbers, you know, it would seem, unless Cobra Kai does some big recruiting thing. But, you know, it's just, I feel like I want them to get along all through season four, even if they're a little, I don't want to say animosity or not animosity, but like a power struggle, you know, like, we need to teach them this way. I don't know. I think we need to teach them this way. You know, philosophical differences.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to mention this too. That's why I kind of know they're going to be fighting. It's because you probably would know this more than me. You actually played sports in high school, but I've watched sports movies, so that kind of counts.
totally.
You can't have two team captains. You have to have some kind of hierarchy. You have to have at least one main coach, and then somebody underneath him. Both those, Johnny and LaRusso, are both in their own minds kind of alpha males, kind of like they both want to be head. I don't see Johnny listening to LaRusso. I don't see LaRusso listening to Johnny on certain areas.
Right.
You know. And then another thing I was thinking about when you were talking about kind of got Kreese's backstory a little bit. When they first started telling that, I was thinking to myself, okay, they're going to try to have us feel sorry for Kreese. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've talked about this many times before, especially like Joker and stuff like that. Sometimes you just don't want to, feel sorry for the bad guy, you know,
exactly.
in certain movies, I don't mind, but I think to Kreese's credit, the actor, Martin Kovas, he has done such a great job or did such a great job of being like iconic bad guy. I still, even though they told me his backstory and I should have felt sorry for him, I still did not feel sorry for him.
No, you're right. You know? Absolutely right. And you know, they have that, you know, they did the old bait and switch at the beginning where you think he's the Kreese is the a-hole jock, but he's really, you know, the bus boy. You know, he ends up getting the sweetheart, you know, gets the shit kicked out of him at the same time. But then he goes off to, you know, Vietnam and still talking to the sweetheart and oh, you know, she's cute, things like that, you know, from his platoon mates. And then he goes off on this special mission that he's recruited for. And I'm not going to tell him, you know, the commanding officer gets a letter that, you know, his girlfriend died in a car wreck or whatever it was. He's like, I'm not going to tell him we need him at his best until didn't need him at his best anymore because it was going to be a one-on-one fight.
Right.
And You know, so then he told him, and then obviously Kreese wins, but he wins, and he's like, says, I feel like everything that led up to that point, and then the fact that, you know, the commanding officer was a dick, and, you know, waited until the opportune moment to tell him this stuff, I still feel like the relatively good kid John Kreese was there. Just knowing what John Kreese would become, I know we had to get to that point, but it just right. seemed like it was an unnatural place to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I it seemed like something they didn't need to put in. I guess they put in because, like, well, you know, I've still some time. We'll tell him his backstory. But, yeah, you didn't need it. Like I said, for me, and I guess just you, it didn't change my opinion on Kreese. And it, I don't think they ever
intended
refer
that.
To it again.
Right.
You know, it's not like the next episode you see Kreese has a little bit of a heart or something like that. No, he was still a psychotic asshole.
Yeah, he was cold from that moment on, you know. Mm-hmm. From the time that you know, his CO told him about that, and then he showed no mercy. And by the way, that was the deepest, not that deep pit, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He fell almost as long as Miguel fell from the second floor.
Right,
you
right.
know, I was like, oh. Like, you would have thought that he got kicked into the pit in 300, you know.
I think that was the pit.
It may have been. That's how long the pit in 300 was. It went all the way right. from ancient Greece to 1970s Vietnam. So, anything else on Cobra Kai that we didn't touch on in our spoilerific spoilers?
I don't think so. I think we got the main points of it. Like I said, I'm definitely going to watch season 4.
Oh, sure.
Cobra Kai. I don't know when it comes out, if they've even I don't think they've even filmed anything.
Probably not.
So it's probably going to be at least about another 3 years.
Two years?
Okay.
I was really pleased with how quickly I'd say maybe even next year. Because it's not like you're adding a bunch of special effects. You know, if you can get the choreography down, if you can film with you know, COVID and rapid tests and whatever else, if you can film it, I think they could have it out, you know, next year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Anything else, Michael?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's a good time to wrap things up here for Nerds United. If you haven't yet, check out the YouTube channel. You can find us on Spotify and many other podcast platforms. So take us with you wherever you go, home, at home, at work, or in the car. Make Nerds United part of your weekly podcast listening schedule, and we hope to maybe get a little feedback from you via Facebook if you like what we're doing, or leave a review. Let us know you have left us a review. Screenshot it and send it to us, nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll send you a nice little goodie in the mail. By the way, the recipients of mailed out goodies have responded overwhelmingly positive, not only because they got free stuff, but because Nerds United Prize Vault is a very generous prize vault, and it kicked out a lot of stuff. So if you want to be part of the Nerds United Prize Vault and win random stuff in your mail, let us know. And again, throw up a review on your favorite podcast app and let us know what you think about Nerds United from the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. So that'll do it for us. I'm Greg Mahochko. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. And at Nerds United, we remind you every week to be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.